So, quick introduction to who we are. We are the executive team. We help lead leadership training for high school youth in the LCMS congregation. So, we get elected every 3 years. This is our last year serving on this team. So, yeah, we'll quickly introduce ourselves. So, my name is Austin Barber. I'm from Worthington, Minnesota. I currently am a chemistry education student at South Dakota State University, and I represent the Great Plains region.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Adam Beadle. I'm from Chandler, Arizona. I just finished up my freshman year studying sports journalism at Arizona State University, Forks Up, and I represent the West Southwest region.
Hi, my name is Abigail Kohlbaum. I am from Madison, Nebraska, and I go to Concordia University, Nebraska, majoring in early childhood education, and I am the at-large member.
Hey everyone, I'm Ava Dredzinski. I'm from Prattville, Alabama. I represent the East Southeast region. I go to Auburn University and I'm an uprising senior studying psychology. And then also we have our sixth member, Annika Zeiser. She wasn't able to join us this time, but she represents the Great Lakes region. She's from Michigan and she's continuing her grad education at Concordia Ann Arbor.
Hi, guys. I'm Reagan Martins. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. I go to Concordia, Nebraska, and I'm studying elementary ed. I'm going to be a junior there, and I represent the Central Region. And we want to get to know all of you guys, so on three, can you shout your name out? One, two, three. Wow, it is so nice to meet each and every one of you. We are so glad that you're here this morning or this afternoon. To get us started, first, before we do our icebreaker, we're going to say a little prayer. So if you will pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Thank you for the youth gathering that all these people could be here. I just ask that you would be with us. Just let your words speak through us and help us to all be servants to you, coming together to worship and learn more about you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, to start us off, we're going to do a little icebreaker. This is something that we love to do at our Youth Lead event in March. So I want you to turn to a person sitting next to you. If you can find someone that you don't know, that's even better. And talk about how do you care for your friends? We'll give you guys a minute to do that. Okay, now that you guys have kind of thought about this question for a little bit, I want you to keep it on your mind. And Adam, you can take us to the next slide.
Yeah, so this question is going to be very important as we go through what we're going to talk about today. And we will really be able to really understand how to help our struggling friends, Christian and non-Christian, and some supportive things you can do, and also some good techniques as well. The two main points I want you guys to focus on today about why it's important we care for our friends is it teaches us how to help struggling friends endure their struggles, and by learning how to care for others, we learn how to endure as people. Because at the end of the day, we are all one big family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to know that it's important that we all care for each other. Life's not always easy. Our world is a broken place, and we encounter so many different types of struggles, and being able to get through all those things together is what matters most.
Okay, now that we've talked about our focus for this session, we're going to look at the verse that guides us through this material, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:11, saying, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." To give a little context, 1 Thessalonians 5 is talking about the day of the Lord. So Paul is talking to the Thessalonians and he's describing how the Lord will come like a thief in the night, very unexpectedly, and there will be darkness. But he reminds us that we are not in the darkness. We have the light because we trust in the Lord. God has not destined us for wrath, but instead to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we may feel that we are in darkness in our everyday lives because we live in a sinful world and we are going to encounter tough times. So that's why it's important to remember this verse for ourselves, but also so that we can recognize in our friends and families when they're going through hard times and we can help them endure by encouraging them and loving them and building them up just as Christ loves us. And it helps remind us and them that we have the promise of the light to come.
So we talked about the why. Now we're going to talk about the how. So one way we can care for our struggling friends is to remember the LOPE acronym. Can you say LOPE? LOPE. Okay, awesome. So each part of the acronym stands for something. L stands for listen. O stands for observe. A stands for ask. And P stands for pray. So to kind of help us remember each one, so we're going to do a little fun thing. So I'm going to say L. You're going to say listen. L. Listen. L. Listen. When I say O, you say observe. O.
Observe.
O.
Observe.
When I say A, you say ask. A.
Ask.
A.
Ask.
When I say P, you say pray. P.
Pray.
P.
Pray.
O.
Observe.
L.
Listen.
O.
Observe.
A.
Ask.
P.
Pray.
P.
Pray.
A.
Ask.
O.
Observe.
L. A.
Ask.
P.
Pray.
P.
Pray.
O.
Observe.
Okay, I think we got it down. Okay. Alrighty. So LOPE kind of helps us have a guideline to remember how we should help our peers who are struggling. And you might not be able to solve every conflict right at that moment in one conversation, and that's okay. It's a process type deal. And this is how we can use the Holy Spirit to work through us to help our peers who are struggling.
So let's go ahead and start off with listen. This isn't just everyday listening. This is the type of listening you use during difficult conversations. Good and true active listening takes time, practice, and thought. When you are listening to someone, you need to be sure to stay open and don't interrupt. No matter how good of a story you may have or remark that you think will be funny, it's their time to tell their story. And I know personally, I'm really bad at giving my undivided attention to someone because I'm a pretty busy person, so I'm always thinking about what I have next. And these things take a lot of time and practice. I mean, I'm still practicing on giving people my undivided attention. Being aware is the first part, and finding alternatives tends to help. I like to clear my mind and pray to God before I start a conversation with a friend.
Next is observe. So it's really important to be comfortable with emotions that you're expressing as well as other people that you're talking to. So some things that you might observe in someone who's uncomfortable is they might be shifting their body language, not really making eye contact, trying to not really answer the question, kind of pinpointing around it. And I know when I'm uncomfortable, I try and just quick change the subject. So reading body language is key when trying to observe how they are feeling. And so we want to maintain these relationships and connections that we have with others. So making sure that they feel comfortable is so, so important because we want to make sure that they still feel comfortable coming to us and talking with us and knowing that we are there to support them and that it's a safe place and that we can pray for them and listen. And we're just going to be a friend to comfort them during these times.
Now we have asked, and if you were to ask me, see what I did there? This, in my opinion, is the second most important one besides the last one that we're going to talk about, and I'll show you why. If you've ever helped a struggling friend, raise your hand. Now imagine, you put your hands down. Now imagine you were talking to your struggling friend and you never asked them if something was wrong. How would you know, right? It's so important to talk, to communicate, to ask your friends. You can listen and observe are a huge part of that. But in my opinion, it starts with the ask, right? Showing care and concern for others can oftentimes open a door for communication. However, there's a lot of times where people aren't really going to want to have those open conversations, right? They might not, you know, you might have some friends that come to you and say, hey, I'm really struggling with something. But you might also have friends that just kind of, you know, off the distance, you don't really know what's going on, right? So that's why it's so important to ask. And as Christians, it's so important that we go to people and we ask, you know, how can we pray for you, you know, and just being with them, observing their body language, listening to what they're telling us. This all ties in to different ways of asking questions, right? You're going to want to intentionally listen to ask those follow-up questions, right? Somebody might tell you what's going on. You'd be like, okay, expand on that more. How else is some things affecting you, right? But with ask, there also comes another side of it where they might ask you something. And it might be along the lines of, hey, can you promise not to do this? Or can you promise not to tell this person this? And before we kind of go over why do you, and just kind of, you know, shout it out, why do you think that, you know, what are some things that you should not promise to do if someone asks, if they're in a difficult situation?
So not telling anyone, that's a good promise not to make a promise to, because you never know what someone might be going through and they might need, you know, an adult or a professional to help them out.
And there's a big thing that comes with this too, and I'm sure it's crossed through everyone's mind, is what if somebody tells me not to tell them something and you might be worried about, oh, they're not going to be my friend anymore. They're not going to like me. You know, they won't, you know, talk to me anymore. I guarantee if you have a friend that is in genuine danger, trouble, or needs help, please, please tell an adult. I cannot stress that enough, that is so important. If you have a friend that is in danger, or if you have a friend that asks you to do something you might not be able to do, that is something you shouldn't promise, and you should talk to an adult immediately because it might end up saving their life.
Okay. The last part of LOPE is P for pray. And as Adam alluded to, this is the most important part of LOPE because prayer is so powerful. God wants to be in a relationship with us. He wants to hear from his people, and he promises to hear our prayers. And so he wants to hear from us. You can go to him with your concerns and just conversation, and he promises to hear them and respond. He may not respond in the way we want him to respond, but he promises to always hear us and reciprocate. So you should always end your conversations with prayer. Whether you're talking to a Christian friend or a non-Christian friend, you can ask if they are comfortable praying. And if they're not, that's totally fine. But you can and should continue to pray for them outside of the conversation as well. In your free time, whenever you do your prayers, like during Bible study, in the morning, before you go to bed, make sure to include your friends and family who are struggling in your own prayers. So that is very important. We've talked about every part of LOPE now, and it's important to remember that we're not going to have all these skills of listening and observing and asking and praying even down perfectly. It takes time to build these skills. And so give yourself some patience and grace. You can work on these skills because practice makes better. You can reflect on this question on the screen in your own time, self-reflection of what part of LOPE is most challenging for you, and you can create a plan to work on that when you go back home. It's also important to remember that this is not all on your shoulders to solve the problems of your struggling friends. You have the Holy Spirit working through you, and of course, the Lord is doing all the work. It may seem like you have to solve the problems, and if you say the wrong thing, nothing's going to be solved, but it's really not. And you may be harder on yourself than you really were in life. How you act sometimes is better than what you say. So it's important to remember that it's through the Holy Spirit and the Lord that things get done.
Okay, now Abby and I are going to do a little demonstration. We're going to try and act out the LOPE scenario. So Abby, I know some things have been going on in your life. Why don't you tell me about them?
So I had this friend, and I really think she's gone down a really bad road, and I don't know what to do because I think I'm losing a friend. She's just...
Pause. Reagan, you're not properly listening. You need to get off your phone, make eye contact, shift your body towards her. This shows her that you're listening. Resume.
Abby, I'm listening now. But you know what we should do? Let's dive deep into the nitty-gritty stuff. Tell me all the bad things about this friend. Just share every single detail.
How's the weather?
Pause. Reagan, are you observing? It seems that Abby doesn't really want to answer this question. Maybe you can ask a new one?
Yeah. Abby, so how are you doing personally with this?
I'm doing all right. Like, Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm going to do for you? I am going to be your new best friend instead of this girl, okay? I'm going to be around you 24/7. This is what you need, okay?
Pause. Reagan, are you supposed to ask her what she needs instead of telling her what she needs?
Abby, how can I be there for you?
I think I just need someone there for me and helping me and maybe praying with me.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Pause. Reagan forgot the most important part. Forget to pee.
You know, Abby, I will definitely keep you in my prayers.
You know what? How about we pray now?
Okay, yeah. How about we all pray now? Will you please bow your heads? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for all of the blessings that you give to us each day. I just ask that you please help us to listen, observe, ask, and pray and feel comfortable to do it. Help us to just shine your light on others and just share your word and not forget to pray. Amen.
So caring for our Christian friends, you may think this is easy because you share Jesus, prayer, and scripture, but even though we're Christians, that doesn't mean we're immune to difficult times. There is sin in the world all around us. Every one of us at some point will be faced with illness, broken relationships, abuse from others, financial struggles, and even more. This is why we need to care for our Christian friends and share that we can endure all things together and through Christ. However, we need to be really careful of things we might say that are not true to Scripture.
And that's what brings us to some of these common cliches that are untrue to Scripture. And before we kind of talk about them, looking at these up on here, does anybody see any that they've heard before? Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's talk about it. Let's break them down. First one is, don't be sad. Look at all your blessings. There's a world where you can be sad and grateful at the same time. Like, I think most of you, right? I think of this, how many juniors and seniors do we have in the room? Okay, a good amount. I think one thing on your mind is probably college applications, right? Who's thinking about college applications right now? Yeah. It's a difficult world, and you might end up being sad that you didn't get into one college, but remember, there are so many opportunities, and the fact you're even in that position to be able to apply to a college, and just so much to be grateful for. The second one is, you just need to pray harder. Unfortunately, we don't have a little genie lamp that you can just rub and all of a sudden all your prayers, poof, you know, everything's solved, right? Prayer, constant prayer, you know, spending time with Jesus, right? This next one, you're a child of God. You shouldn't feel this way. Just because I'm a child of God doesn't mean I can't feel sad. Just because I'm a child of God doesn't mean I can't be really struggling. Just because I'm a child of God doesn't mean I can't be happy. Look at a biblical example. Look at Lazarus's death, John 11:35. What does it say? Jesus wept. Jesus had feelings too. So guess what? It's okay for you to feel something. It's okay for you to feel sad. It's okay for you to not know what kind of season you're in. This last one. This is happening for a reason. Let me tell you this. God is never going to intentionally hurt you. God is never going to intentionally cause you harm. There's not a reason you might be suffering. But, and this other part, God is using this to make you stronger. We all go through struggles, and together, we can all work together. I think another one that I wanted to talk about too is, and this is a big one, I think I hear this a lot, is that Jesus gave his toughest battles to his strongest warriors. None of us are greater Christians than the rest of us. We're not, you know, just because, you know, my friend, let's say Reagan, might read the Bible more than me. It doesn't mean she's a better Christian than me, right? I think that, you know, together, we're all, you know, we all can get through things together. And we're not better than each other, and we can all work together in one unit as Christ.
All right, so now we have a little video that does a great job explaining how we can care for our non-Christian friends, because we kind of talked about caring for Christian friends and whatnot. This video does a great job explaining better than what we could do. So if you have a notebook, you can take some notes. There's some good information on there. So we'll start it up.
Sharing hope is the key to caring for our non-Christian friends. When we reach out to care to those struggling who are Christian, we have a common faith and hope. We know we can go to the Bible for shared conviction and comfort in the gospel. But what about if those struggling don't believe in Jesus? How do we show mercy and care? And in doing so, how might the Holy Spirit give us an opening to share God's good news? First and foremost, say a prayer before you speak with your friend. Prayer is your most powerful tool, and praying for the Lord's guidance and to give you the words that will provide comfort. We trust that God will give us wisdom in His Spirit to share the gospel. We want to share the hope we have, but as a Christian, we also have to be mindful of their worldview. A non-Christian has a different worldview and may not be familiar with Christian terms, especially scripture verses. However, they will know care and support. So how do we share hope without sharing scripture? First, we can acknowledge their pain or hurt. Making an effort to understand their struggle and understanding the hurt they are feeling from their perspective will show both care and love. Allow them to vent and express their anger, hurt, anxiety, or depression. Listening without judgment sends a message of compassion and concern. If they know you are a Christian, they may anticipate judgment and note their concern about being judged. Remember, lope and be intentional about listening, observing, asking, and praying. But they will also be observing your response and body language when they are speaking to you. So be aware of your body language and your facial expressions as you listen to avoid the appearance of judgment or disapproval. You can also offer to pray with them and respect their response if it is a no. Acknowledge their reaction and possible discomfort in a caring way. You can assess their response and decide whether it would be helpful to let them know you will be praying for them. Most importantly, keep them in your daily prayers, whether they are open to it or not. Checking in with them regularly after your conversation will be of utmost importance. Remember, caring for someone is not just getting the tea. It is putting in the time and effort of following up and being present and available for them. Your ministry of presence may provide an opportunity to share about the hope you have in Christ. Your consistent caring, allowing them to ask hard questions, and following their lead when talking about faith will hopefully enable conversations about Jesus, faith, and hope. Our Christian message should be evident in our words, behaviors, and actions, even if your friend is not ready to receive the message of the gospel just yet. Remember that caring is a long game, and every time you reflect God's love, you hopefully give yourself a bit more of a chance to share the good news of Jesus. As a friend, you are not bound by traditional rules of confidentiality, but it is a good rule to live by when you are caring for your Christian and non-Christian friends. It takes courage for someone to share their story with a friend, especially if they are struggling or have feelings of shame. The last thing we want to do as a friend is to add to their struggle by gossiping and sharing details that do not need to be shared. The Eighth Commandment tells us not to bear false witness against our neighbor. However, even if something is true, we do not need to be sharing information and details that are not ours to share. Finally, be aware of your abilities and when it is time to refer to an adult, parent, pastor, teacher, DCE, or counselor. A part of caring is knowing when to refer. Confidentiality is important for a trusting relationship. However, sometimes it may be necessary to talk to an adult, even when your friend has asked you not to tell anyone what is happening. Examples of situations where you would need to bring in the help of an adult would be thoughts or plans of suicide, harming themselves by cutting, risky behaviors like alcohol and drug use or promiscuity, or harming someone else. You need to be prepared for your friend to possibly be upset with you in the moment, but know that their safety is the primary concern. This is true regardless of the relationship you have with this person or friend. Another important note would be to ensure that as you care for others, you are taking care of yourself. When caring for others, it is common to take on the stress, pain, and struggles. In the psychology world, we refer to this as countertransference. This means you may have intense feelings or reactions to the details shared in your friend's story. The practices for caring for yourself to avoid and or address compassion fatigue include self-care through healthy habits like adequate sleep, exercise, nutrition, setting clear boundaries, seeking social support from trusted friends and family, actively engaging in hobbies or activities you enjoy, and seeking professional help when needed for yourself. Most importantly, be sure to care for your spiritual life by being in worship, Bible study, and prayer. As you talk with, show empathy to, and support those struggling in various ways, we follow Jesus' example. We show humility in putting the needs of others in front of our own. We show mercy to anyone and everyone we come across because of the great mercy we have been shown in Jesus. As we do, people will notice. They will ask why, and we can share the gospel. When we fail, we are reminded of God's forgiveness to us, and with His Spirit, we try again. To bring this all together, caring for others can be overwhelming, but can also be a blessing to the friend you are caring for, as well as yourself, if done in a healthy manner. Always know the Lord is with you and will provide for you in all situations. God has sent His Holy Spirit to be with you and equip you with everything you need to love others. We trust that God will use us to work in the lives of those around us who are struggling and in pain. As we do, we get to help reflect the light of God, who will someday make all things right.